Welcome, my friends, to Generation Psychic Radio, exploring the spiritual, paranormal, and psychic realms. Come join me, your host, psychic medium Becca Boyd, as we walk between the worlds. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the first show of Generation Psychic Radio. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. You know, about 3 months ago, I said to Spirit, I write books. I know I write books, and that's a blessing in itself that I've been able to do that. But it's a little too dimensional to me. I sit there, I put the information out there, and I hope people pick it up and read it. I don't get to interact as much as I'd like. Can you please give me a vehicle to do that with? Less than 3 months later, boom, here came this opportunity to do a radio show. And I said, you know what? That's it, Spirit. Okay, thank you. And I took it. I couldn't help but take it. I've been a guest on other people's radio shows, both internet and terrestrial. And I love it. I love the interaction that you're allowed to have on a radio show. I think that it's fabulous. So, this is going to be a little bit different for me, though, because now I have to be on the other side of the microphone asking the questions. So this ought to be a little interesting. All right, now I did name the show Generation Psychic, not just because I'm a psychic medium, although that has partially to do with it, but more because this generation is searching for answers on a spiritual level, more so than we've seen in the past. We have more paranormal groups out there, more psychics out there, more spiritualists out there, and more spiritually oriented people out there than really ever before. So I wanted to say, you know what? This is Generation P. Call it Generation Psychic, call it Generation Paranormal, call it whatever you want. But I want to bring that information to you. I want to help you to help us find those answers. So to do that, I'm going to be giving out some great information. I'm going to have on some very unique guests with very unique point of views. I plan on throwing in some games to exercise your psychic ability. Or to quiz you about the guest, who knows? I may even throw in some prizes and some giveaways from time to time. We're also going to be playing some great new age and mainstream music, which I'm really excited about because I'm a big music fan. So, before we talk about the guest for tonight, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about me, who I am. I'm a sixth generation psychic medium. I grew up in a gifted family. While others were out mowing the lawn, I was learning divination techniques, tarot cards, pendulums. I was learning how to focus my psychic abilities. I am able to see, hear, and speak to spirit, and I have used that ability to help paranormal groups across the country and across the world. I have also used that ability to help find missing people. I've used that ability to help clients on an everyday basis who come to me looking for readings. I am also a paranormal investigator. Among my colleagues and my friends, I am known as the skeptical psychic because as much as I believe spirits are out there and there may be something there, it's not always their fault. And I do not believe that a haunting is the answer to everything. I am also an author. Now, I have two or three books under my belt and more to come later this year, which I'm very excited, and we'll talk more about as the show progresses and information is updated. Now, the guest I have on tonight, he's a dear friend of mine. His name is Jeremiah Greer. He is the founder of Shadows Media. He is a radio show host in his own right for Shadows in the Dark Radio, which has been running for about 3 years now. He also owns Mysteries Magazine, and he has ties to Ripley's Believe It or Not, which I absolutely love. I mean, I don't think you can go to one place and find as many weird things as you can in these museums. It's absolutely extraordinary, some of the stuff that they've collected over the years. We're going to talk to him about how he originally got into this whole thing, what made him pick up Mysteries Magazine, what made him start Shadows in the Dark Radio, what really motivates him to keep going. We're also going to talk to him about his relaunch of both Mysteries Magazine and Shadows in the Dark Radio come April. There's a big event tied to this, so really, you're going to want to listen. All right, so first we're going to take a small break, listen to a little bit of music, and then we will come back with myself and Jeremiah Greer. Stay tuned.
Hey,
back to Generation Psychic. I'm Becca Boyd. I'm here with Jeremiah Greer, founder of Shadows Media, owner of Mysteries Magazine, and the man with ties to one of the weirdest places in the world, Ripley's Believe It or Not. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. So what exactly, I have to ask, got you into this? You know, I read on your bio, you know, you've had experiences and that you had some freaky things happen when you were younger. But really, what pulled you into the paranormal? Was there any particular instance that you can remember?
Well, yeah, there really is. And I guess it was probably the first experience that I had with the unexplained. And it stuck with me, you know, all through my life. Where I'm saying, yeah, I'm thinking I was around about 10 or 11, but we went on a family vacation out west to North, South Dakota, Wyoming, all that. And I remember we stopped at one place to check into a campground. And as my father and stepmother went in to check us in, the kids stayed in the van. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was, you know, that was back then was a little bit safer to leave your kids in the van.
Right.
So me and my brother, we were sitting there, my older brother, and we had these, you know, they were like Native American, you know, ritual bells or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
They sold at some little, you know, some little shop, little novelty souvenir shop around those areas.
Right.
Well, we looked at each other and we thought, well, because I think these were specifically called like rain bells or something. So,
oh,
you know,
cool.
We was like, well, let's put them on our wrists and our ankles and whatnot. And, you know, let's shake the bells and chant. Let's see if we can make it rain.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we done. We put the bells on, we shook and we did our little chanting. And sure enough, it began to rain.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said.
Oh my gosh, what were you chanting? Do you remember?
You know, we were just imitating, you know, someone would imagine as a typical Native American chant.
Right.
You know, and now that wasn't the end of it, though.
Okay.
After that, of course, we looked at each other like, you know, holy cow, did we just do that? Mm-hmm. And so we said, well, we can make it stop raining. So we shook our bells and we chanted a little bit. And again, sure enough, it stopped raining.
Oh my gosh. You got the power,
so,
huh?
You know, me and him talk about that all the time. And something happened that day. It's hard for me to believe that that was a coincidence.
Yeah.
There was something that happened. You know, what happened, I have no idea. But that's always stuck with me and through my life as I would kind of experience something a little unusual or you know, unexplained, you know, I always reflected back to that saying, you know, wow, that was the day I made it around.
Yeah, no, that's different. That's very just different, you know. But I mean, people for how many thousands of years have been trying to influence the weather, and here's two little boys and there they go, you know, going and doing it. Oh my gosh, have you tried it again? Have you put on the bells again?
You know, I never have. You know, and that it's interesting because we've talked about this recently, and we were talking about that, asking the other, you know, have we tried it again? It's like, no, you know, there was just something that was, you know, part of the answer for us, and it didn't matter if we'd done it again.
Right.
You know, it was like, wow, that was just a very amazing experience, and you know, I'm fine with it at that.
Cool. So, you know, later in your life, you formed with a friend of yours, Epic, the paranormal group. And you guys, I guess you did a lot of different places. Was there any place that stuck out in your memory in particular as far as haunted places you've been to?
For me, it was, I wouldn't call it a haunted place because it was a cemetery like any other group that, you know, nowadays gets started. You know, you hit the cemeteries. But, you know, that's obviously going to stick with you. But now the first actual location we went into, now that was really, we weren't going to a cemetery. We were actually going to a building, and it had a wonderful history to it. It was a historical building here, you know, in my local town. Founder of the town lived in the house for a number of years.
Wow.
You know, there was a famous, you know, area doctor that also, you know, lived in the house, and his office was right beside the house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, connected to it. And it's a beautiful home. You know, it's one of the historical houses around here. So, I mean, that was kind of cool to actually get to do that. And we picked up one of the strangest EVPs that I'd ever heard from there, too.
Really?
Yeah, and I think me and you have actually talked about on Shadows in the Dark. about the EVP, it was a three-level house. You know, of course, if you don't count the basement and the attic, so technically five levels.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, I don't know, 30 rooms, something like that. It's just crazy.
Right.
But we had recorders on all three of them, you know, the main levels there, and camcorders, cassette, digital, you know, pretty much the whole nine yards. So anything we had that could record audio. Well, on every single piece of equipment, we picked up, you know, a voice telling us to go away, you know, mm-hmm. a really drawn out, whispery, go away.
Oh, that's,
you know,
freaky.
Yeah. And it picked up on every single piece of equipment. I'm sorry. You may hear a dog bark. I apologize.
That's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it, because you can hear my cat's meow. So we're all good.
But so it was on every single recorder or anything that could record audio. And it was all at the same volume level. There was no difference in the volume. So it obviously wasn't one of us near a recorder, because we were all, when it was recorded, we were on the second level, all sitting down in the hallway. Uh-huh. And, you know, I've never heard an EVP like that since. And I've talked to a lot of people about it. And to me, it's just really an amazing one because of the volume level and every piece of equipment. I mean, this equipment could have been, you know, about, you know, 50 yards from each other, thereabouts.
Oh, wow. So, and it picked up on each and every one, even though they were separated like that?
Yep, exactly. On three different levels.
That's different. Yeah. That's different. You know, a lot of investigators, they talk about, oh, well, we picked up one on one recorder, but, you know, I mean, they'll put two recorders next to each other and get one on one and not on the other. And so to get something recorded on all of these different devices, that's huge.
It's amazing. I couldn't believe it.
All right. And so after Epic, which ended in what, 2008, was it?
Yeah, it was about 2008. We ran about three and a half years from Halloween to Halloween. So it was actually 3 years.
Right. And you closed it because your friend passed away.
Yeah, he actually passed away pretty early into it. And we had a little bit of a hiatus there. You know, it was tough. I did everything with him. And,
right.
You know, it was hard to say, okay, let's continue this and whatnot. But,
right.
You know, decided to with a, you know, good, you know, strong threat from his mother. I started to continue it and whatnot. And, but, you know, it got too much. We wanted to do more. It was more than just ghost hunting for me. And, you know, that was just one of the avenues that we use to expand what we do. And, you know, for myself, my own personal search for the answers of the unexplained, you know, it was just a piece of the puzzle.
Right. And I know you formed Shadows in the Dark Radio, mm-hmm. Which is absolutely awesome, by the way. If anybody gets a chance to hear it, you need to. You literally invite anybody and everybody on. And I love that. I love that. You know, there's been times where he had that was that dude who talked about the hypnosis. And I think half the chat fell asleep, but still what he had to say was really interesting because everything was just in a monotone voice, you know?
So was that the Mind Control America show?
Yes, that was it. And then the water guy. But then you've got a lot of really interesting guests, a lot of lesser known guests, got mm-hmm. a lot of guests that are out there too. But I love the show because it's a platform for everybody, you know, which is absolutely awesome. And, you know, you're taking that to the next level from what I'm understanding. You know, you took on Mysteries Magazine, which God bless you for that.
That's a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, just a little. So what made you decide to start Shadows in the Dark Radio in the first place?
Well, I've always, as long as I can remember, you know, kind of, you know, starting to get as interested in this field as I have, listening to Art Coast to Coast AM. I mean, what a show. What an amazing show. Of course, that led to other people like Long John Nebel, which is when you get back into the 50s. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I didn't listen to Nebel when I was young because I'm like, you know, I'm in my 30s. So.
Not even thought of, right?
But amazing people, and I've always loved the old-time radio shows, things like that. And I guess kind of a little bit of a dream for me was to do my own show, do my own radio show. And, you know, I always was looking around, and you know, of course, it was you had to pay this, pay that, and then equipment, and all these things. And lo and behold, I ran across Blog Talk Radio, which has become probably one of the biggest names in you know, internet radio out there.
Oh gosh, yeah, everybody and starts there.
they do, and you know, unfortunately, Blog Talk gets a lot of bad rap from a lot of you know, well-seasoned radio hosts, but you know, it's a great place to get your feet wet, to get out there and learn, work all the kinks out, build your show, and then try to move it to the next level. And you know, that's what we've done with Shadows in the Dark, and it was you know, it was great because it gave us another place, or gave, you know, me and those involved with, you know, what we do, another place to explore this, you know, the mysteries that are around us, that is all over the place.
Well, exactly. I mean, Blog Talk is kind of like a new group going out to a cemetery, you know?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It is. And it's a lot of fun. You know, there's such a variety on that. And you've got new shows coming in all the time with new ideas. And it's wonderful to see, you know, things like that taking off. I'm so excited to see that. You know, I think that your followers, the people who listen to you and tune in each week, or, you know, however many times you're running it a month, you know, I know that they really enjoy it. You've got some wicked smart asses in there, which I absolutely love. You know,
the chat room is great. I love the chat room.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, when Katie and I were on and we were talking and then the demon poop came up, oh my God, that chat room went berserk. Berserk. Yeah. It was funny as heck. And you know, they don't miss a beat there.
No, they don't. They are on top of everything. They, you know, number one, that they ask some of the greatest questions. And, you know, if you really listen to the show, a lot of questions come from the chat room.
Oh, sure.
I mean, and they just have some of the most intelligent questions. They just have fun. We have never had argument break out in our chat room for 3 years. It's just seems like a really great place to, you know, to kind of hang out. And, you know, we have people that hang out during the show that they're not even listening to the show, you know, and they'll say it. They'll say, I can't hear the show. I'll catch it on the archives, but they hang out in the chat room.
Now, you also took on Mysteries Magazine, which again is absolutely huge. You know, and again, I'll say it, God bless you for that. Cause it actually used to be run out of New Hampshire up here, in my area. And they did a pretty fair job with it. And then when I saw you again down in North Carolina at Phantom Con, and you're sitting there going, well, I bought Mysteries and, you know, this is the first issue and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, holy crap, somebody bought it. Thank God. Okay. You know, it's going to change. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I noticed in the first issue in particular that you had much more of a retro feel to it, which I liked. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, I think you said this before, you know, kind of like harkens back to the old Fate magazines and, you know, things like that. And the artwork was just incredible. But what prompted you to actually take this on, this magazine on? Because, oy, it was a sinking ship.
Yeah, well, you know, it was definitely experiencing some hard times and whatnot. And, you know, we did get the magazine for a good price. And, you know, we're always, you know, as Shadows in the Dark, you know, continued to grow, you know, from having, you know, 1 to 2 listeners to, you know, hundreds and then thousands of listeners, you know, checking out the show, you know, this happened to really fall right in our lap. You know, one of the guys who, big part of the show, had seen something on a newsletter that he subscribed to that said Mysteries was for sale. So he, you know, forwarded over to me and was like, oh, we got to jump on this. This is great. You know, this is another avenue to explore, have fun, just really enjoy, you know, something that we can do.
Right.
And, you know, we, you know, like I said, we got it for a great price. And, of course, it's a lot of hard work. That was, you know, that was, you know, putting together a magazine is no easy chore. But I tell you what, when you, you know, put everything that you can into it, it is a blast. And, you know, it just extended our network. We got to meet even more interesting people, you know, who had great stories to tell, whether it was an experience or research they had done or a theory that they had. And it has went over so well. We couldn't be any more pleased with the response we got from our first issue.
Yeah, I mean, that first issue was awesome. It was such a change from the original Mysteries. You know, there were so many different and cool articles in there. I know that Katie, you know, she got the magazine and she went, oh, you know, she tweaked. I think for about a good like week or so, she was just reading articles over and over and over again, and what have you. And you know, it's just, it's very interesting, the stuff that you're bringing forth. There's, again, you know, kind of takes on the same essence as Shadows in the Dark Radio. You know, you cover everything. And, you know, one of the things that I like is you even allow people who are not professional writers, who are not, you know, necessarily, you know, wholeheartedly in the community. I mean, you let everybody have a voice in this magazine. And it seems like that's kind of the theme that runs between, you know, or throughout Shadows Media, you know, is it's everybody's.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly the, you know, we wanted to merge basically Shadows in the Dark and Mysteries Magazine together to be similar in the way that they handled themselves. And, you know, from the get-go, we always talked about, you know, a community being the foundation for Shadows in the Dark. And, you know, we felt that that's been successful, that we have a very nice community, you know, family type of feel to it. And we wanted to bring that to the magazine to say that this isn't our magazine. This is everybody's magazine, and everybody deserves a voice, no matter how crazy it may seem, you know, whatever the case may be, everybody does. Because, you know, I mean, I have to say, I don't agree with everything we publish or everything that we have on the show, but that's not my place to say that you can't speak what you feel, you believe, and what you've experienced.
Well, exactly. And, you know, but the fact that you're letting these people have a voice, the fact that you're opening it up to the community and saying, hey, listen, you know, if you have a story, if you have whatever, I want to hear it, is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I do know from what we've talked about before that you are planning on relaunching both the magazine and your radio show come April, I think you said?
Right, April 17th. Yeah, we're kind of on a restructuring right now, I guess is the best way to describe it. I mean, because, you know, we have to face the facts, and Bob Dylan, you know, the times, they are a-changing. So, you know, we've got to adapt to that. And, you know, the publishing industry is going through a lot of changes. Businesses themselves, due to the economy, you know, the whole nine yards. So, you know, we have to make sure that we keep everything alive. We don't want to see it go away. And, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to say, believe me, we are not making money off of this. But, you know, last thing we want to see is this to disappear. And, you know, it's a major success, or whether it's just enough to keep it going. That's all that matters. And that's what we want to see.
Right, right. Now, also, you know, that being said, you know, we had talked before, and you talked about an affiliate program that you're running with the magazine. And I wanted everybody to hear about this because it's a great opportunity. If you do have a paranormal group, if you do conventions at all, heck, if you don't even do any of that and you just, you know, want to sell it door to door, you know, but it's a way for, you know, these groups to have another source of income. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. You talked about another group that's actually using it to build their equipment fund.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, again, this reflects back to, you know, we want this all to nice feel to it. And if someone can take part in it and benefit from it, then please, you know, let us know what you can do and what you would like to see out of it. But, you know, one of the things is this kind of affiliate program that anybody can really sign up for. And you know, we provide you with the materials that you're going to need, samples, you know, order forms, whole nine yards. And, you know, if you're at conventions, you can set up at the conventions. Your group can, you know, use this to fund equipment or travel expenses, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, this gives an opportunity for, you know, people to benefit from it, use it for their groups, for, you know, their bills. I mean, let's face it, economy's awful. You know?
Yeah, Lord knows the paranormal doesn't pay.
Oh. Yeah, and use a couple extra hundred bucks a month or something.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, we'll be right back. We're going to take a small break real quick, listen to a song or two, and I want to talk to you more about the magazine, of course, and I want to talk to you about Ripley's. I am so excited about that. I can't wait. All right, so just hold on the line, and we'll be right back.
That's when the energy comes and the dark side's light and the vampires roar. Stretch horses' hearts. Wear sandals in the snow and smile that won't wash away. Can you look out the window without your shadow getting in the way? You're so beautiful, an edge of a charm. So careful when I'm in your arms. Cause you're working the little mystery. Hold it on, hold it in. Oh yeah, you're working the little mystery. I'm choosing so
right, and we're back with Jeremiah Greer. So, Jeremiah, during the break, Katie actually wanted to know, she's always wanted to put her two cents in, she wanted to know about when you went to see the Mayan pyramids or the Incan pyramids. She
was the Mayan pyramids. Yeah. I've seen three different ones, Shunatunuk, Tulum, it's an Itza, which is definitely one of the most famous either observatory. Most of the times when you see like anything, representing the Mayans, you usually see the Pyramid of Chichen Itza.
Right.
And let me tell you this, all three of those trips were just amazing. Unfortunately, I only got to spend about a day at them. But if anybody gets a chance to ever see these things, you have to, because they will just blow your mind. And some of the things like Chichen Itza.
Mm-hmm.
They were really saying they didn't know what would cause this, whether it was the limestone that it was built out of or the way they just built the pyramids. But if you stood in front of the temple and you would your hands, the echo would come back at you and it'd sound like a squawk.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, like a bird. It was amazing. I mean, especially when you'd see like these huge groups of people, 20, 30 people, all standing there clapping their hands, and you could be standing about 50, 75 yards away from, and you would do that and you would hear this come back at you. I mean, if you get a chance, just YouTube Chichen Itza and you'll find the videos of people doing this. It's amazing.
And hearing the squawking. Oh my gosh.
And their ball court, the acoustics in it Again, another amazing, feature of these places is if you stood in the ball court and you yelled or clapped your hands or whatever, made a sound, you could actually hear it almost bounce from one wall to the other, a couple times.
Oh my gosh.
Insane. I mean, this, to see these structures and to see, we look at ourselves as being so technologically advanced, but then you go see something like this and you're just like, wow, that's amazing. It really is that, something thousands of years ago could, people could produce this. We just, a lot of times we don't imagine that.
No. And that kind of harkens back to another show that you did with the guy who runs the tours to Egypt.
Right.
And
yeah,
oh,
Stephen Mailer.
Yeah, Katie and I both were drooling throughout that whole show going, oh, I want to go.
Oh, I would love to go on one of those trips that they go. I mean, that would just be amazing because, something like that where, like my trips to the Mayan ruins, I was there, I seen them, experienced them and pretty much left. Where trips with, that Stephen Mailer and that group puts on, it's more of a spiritual and, look into these areas. Like they even go to the Mayan ruins, Egypt, places like that. And I think that would really add so much to what you would get out of a place like that.
Oh, God.
I mean, I really believe that the ancients were very intelligent people and that we should pay attention to what they have to say in their prophecies, in their philosophies, not just the Mayans, but, the Native Americans, the tribes in Africa, things like that. I mean, these, it's like they have a certain understanding of the unity of everything.
I think they did. And, I talk about the radio show and calling it Generation Psychic. And I think we're kind of getting back into that. We're getting back to base, to roots. Spirituality is hot now, more
exactly.
So than it has been in years. And so, we're paying a lot more attention to, what's going on around us, what the tribes thought, what the aboriginals believed in, and, getting back to that base spirituality. So I want to talk a little bit about Ripley's. How the heck did you get involved with them?
Well, it started with the 24-hour broadcast, which, we do on a yearly basis. Our third one will be coming up in April. Our first one we done was in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, nice little haunted town, and it was a blast. And, so when the second one came around, we thought, what can we do to make it better? We're already going 24 hours straight. We're already interviewing, 20 guests, I think around there, with a lot of people in and out, kind of thing. We given away thousands of stuff, prizes and gifts, what can we do to make it better? And so we thought, well, it had to be about the location a little more this time.
Right.
And so, we searched around trying to figure out places and, somebody said, hey, why don't we get in touch with Ripley's and see if we can do something with them in St. Augustine? Because we have a large network of people in Florida that do a lot with us. And so we dropped them an email and said, hey, what do you guys think? We want to do a 24-hour broadcast from the museum. Could you handle us? Would you be interested in doing this together? We don't want any money from you. We just want an awesome place to broadcast and have a good time. And it was amazing. They jumped right on it.
Wow.
They replied and said, yeah, let me work this down the pipelines and, see if everybody's cool with it. And sure enough, they said, let's do it. And I tell you, it was a blast. And ever since then, we've, been able to work on other little projects with them here and there. And, they have their own podcast show. And, I do a segment for it. And I've been a guest on it a couple times. And, we're looking to do the 24-hour event, out of there again in St. Augustine's. So, I mean, they are great people to work with. Great, great people.
Really? Now, I know that you said that you've done walkthroughs of the Ripley's Museum and kind of, from what I understand, kind of like impromptu investigations?
Yeah, the St. Augustine Museum, well, first off, it's the first Ripley's Museum that was ever built. Well, I don't want to say built because this building existed quite a bit of time before Ripley's took it over and made it a museum.
Well, that had its history itself, right?
Right. It's got a history, and that's where the haunted history comes from, is when this place was a hotel. Now, at first, it was actually a guy's house, and they called it the Warden Castle. It looks like a castle.
That's so cool.
It is awesome. So it was his summer home, is what it was. Then he, when he basically abandoned it. And so, you know, you began to see a lot of homeless people living in it, things like that. Now, they don't really know if there were any deaths or anything tragic that happened in terms of that. But then it became a hotel. It was purchased by a famous author. I think a Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure. I can't remember her name. But she ran a hotel out of it. And the hotel eventually caught fire, in which two people did die in it. And there, it's kind of been a mystery if it was an accidental fire or if someone actually caught the place on fire to kill these people.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a haunted history there. And I tell you what, when you know that accompanied with what is in a Ripley's Museum and you're standing there at 2 o'clock in the morning in the dark in the middle of this museum, it's spooky.
I'm sure.
It'll play with your mind. I mean, that is just a, you know, in the daytime it's an amazing place to walk through.
Now, did you ever get anything from these or from the investigations, or was it just mostly you just walking through and kind of feeling it out?
For me, it was mostly walking through, filling it out. Now, they do ghost tours through there where people do get to go through at. Now, normally it's about 10 o'clock at night. For the 24-hour event, they do well, it was 3 o'clock in the morning they'd done this train, the ghost train. So you were actually in this place at like 5 o'clock in the morning. They're going to do, I think, and I don't hold me to it, I think they're going to do a midnight one this year as well. Now, with people that walked around, I did get one photograph back from a group that is based right there in St. Augustine, based out of St. Augustine, that looked like a little girl kind of with her legs crossed sitting on one of the floors inside the museum itself.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really interesting picture, but, you know, the thing is you really have to look at it. You're in this place that is full of all these artifacts and replicas and unusual looking things. You know, it would have to be a picture. You really have to go back to the place and really try to look at it to figure out, because you can't, I mean, you can't clearly, for me at least, you couldn't clearly make out that it was a girl sitting in it. That's what it resembled. That's what it would favor.
Right.
But still, you're, I mean, that's a, it was an interesting picture, that's for sure.
I'm sure. Now, when are you going back for this year?
It'll be April 17th.
Okay.
Is the date that we have set to do this. We'll be there. It's a Saturday. We'll be there from midnight to midnight, you know, Saturday morning to Saturday night.
Right. And you said that coincides with your relaunch of the magazine and the show and all of that. And if people want to find out more about that event, where can they go?
Right now, we don't have anything posted. You will start seeing some stuff coming up on our shadowsinthedarkradio.com, mysteriesmagazine.com. There'll be links to its main website. It does have one. Well, if you go to shadows24.com, there's information on last year's event there.
Awesome.
So we're going to, you know, here soon replace that with the new information, you know, who's going to be the guest, what exactly we're going to do, because there's live entertainment there too. It's not just a show.
Yeah.
It's not just a broadcast. Why I'm sitting inside this room doing the broadcast outside on the lawn of Ripley's right there in St. Augustine, we have live entertainment going on at the same time.
That's so cool. And what kind of entertainment are you having this year? Have you talked about it at all?
Yeah, one of the things we're bringing back, because man, it was so much fun, it was amazing, is the drum circle. We did, excuse me, we had a group out of Florida that came up, and there was more or less a drum circle that went on for about, I don't know, 6-7 hours straight, something like that. And you could come and sit down. They brought all the drums. Nobody, you know, if you wanted to bring your own drums or bells or chimes or whatever you wanted to beat on, you could do that. But they had actually brought about 10, 15 drums and all kinds of, you know, instruments for this. And man, it was amazing to watch, you know, the people take part in this, and not just that, but the kids.
Right.
That was really, really cool. My kids got out there in the middle of this thing, beating on the drums, and this group, their name is Drum for Wellness, and Carl Miranda is the head of this group. It's one of the things that they really kind of move towards is including children in this, and one of the things they do is they will take the child and put them right in the middle of the drum circle. So they get to control the drum circle. They get to control the rhythm, the beat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let me tell you what, my 4-year-old got in the middle of that drum circle, and it was amazing to watch because he had bells on, you know, wrapped around his arms and shakers in his hand. and he was still, it was awesome. He got into it, and that was, you know, kind of the whole point why they do that. It gives the kids confidence.
Yeah.
And you could just see, you know, and my youngest, his name's Achilles. my kids have some unusual names.
No, that's a cool name.
So, you know, you could really see the confidence of them, you know, really in the middle of that circle and just shaking those drums and ringing those bells. It was a blast. But we are going to bring that back because of the fun that everybody had with it. We had some magic shows kind of going on. That's going to be coming back. We possibly even have a live band this time.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah, we're not sure who. I hopefully my brother will listen to this and he'll get the hint that we're talking about him. So
let's just call him out now.
Yeah. So I asked him to come down. He's a professional musician out of Charleston, South Carolina. I'm like, you know, come on, you're my brother. You're a musician. You get to play on the lawn of Ripley's. Come on, you know, why would you? So
now is he into the paranormal as much as you are, or is he more mainstream, you know, reality?
No, he's that's one of the things for I guess me and him as well. You know, it's really not about the paranormal as just trying to understand life itself.
Right. Right.
You know, the paranormal ties into it. Mm-hmm. Because it's you know, it's another piece of the puzzle of what does this mean? What, you know, how can Bigfoot existing help me understand why I exist?
Right.
You know, things along those lines. And me and him both are very much on a lot of the same page, you know, of our thinking of things like that. And, you know, that's why, you know, I want him to come down and play some music at Ripley's, you know.
Well, I mean, what cooler venue, you know? I'm going to sit here in front of this big castle, you know, filled with all these weird artifacts and, you know, all this interesting stuff going on, and I'm going to play music. You know, I think that's awesome.
That's it. I mean, who better to, you know, to be able to do an event with, please believe it or not.
I know. Katie's in the background going, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go.
And that's, you know, this 24-hour event, you know, everybody is welcome to come or listen in. It's free. There is no charge. This is, you know, free admission. You know, if you want to go through the museum, you do have to pay admission to go through it. We're not in the museum itself. There's a room on the side. There's a veranda that wraps all the way around it. And there's a lawn kind of right there beside us too. You know, so that's what's really cool about it is we don't want anybody's money to come have a good time. We just want you to come have a good time.
You know, that's cool. That's cool.
And we've done it like that for 2 years, and you know, we're going to continue doing it like that. I don't see any other way. It's our year anniversary. It's an appreciation to our listeners, our supporters. And, you know, I shouldn't charge you to appreciate you.
Aww,
oh,
that's so sweet.
And all mushy now.
Yeah, right. No, but really it sounds like it's a kicking event. You know,
yeah.
It sounds like, you know, there's so much to see and so much to do just in that day. I can't imagine the work that you guys have to put into making this happen. I mean, I know for a lot of paranormal groups out there that host events, and those are just like overnight investigations, things like that, there's a lot that goes into it, or even conventions. There's a lot that goes into it. So I can't imagine how much work or how much preparation you have to do beforehand. And I really respect you for that because I know I haven't the patience.
Well, it is. It's a lot of work, but, you know, it's every bit worth it. And, you know, we have a lot of people that help us put this together too.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. I mean, we have so many of the people, you know, that have, you know, over the last 3 years, you've heard as a regular guest on the show. You know, a lot of times they'll end up pitching in, donating some books or material to give away, or, you know, coming on the show during the 24-hour broadcast. You know, it's funny. That's our easiest show to book of the year. We have no problem booking the 24-hour. 4-hour broadcast.
I have a question. You said that you do, segments for Ripley's. What are you doing as far as segments go? What do you've got going on with them?
Over the last couple months, I've been doing a segment they call Out There, and it's a little 2-minute segment that they play on their podcast, mm-hmm. and it's a really fun thing to do. It's a humorous, informative, playful skit is what it is. Basically, what I'll do is I'll take like either an oddity or something mysterious, and I put myself in the middle of it. for example, we had one on the Yeti. Oh. So the whole skit was I was in the Himalayas and in search of the Yeti. Uh-huh. It was our last day. And, it's really, you can hear the wind blowing in the background, the tent flapping. Someone entered the tent to tell me that, hey, we're ready to continue on. So we start out, and you can hear walking through the snow, and I stop and, say something along the lines of, hey, does that look like a Yeti footprint? Someone with me is like, yeah, it sounds like it. And then you can hear singing off in the background, and we end up discovering that Yeti is real, and they enjoy barbershop quartet.
Oh, my God, that's great.
That's awesome. So, they all don't have that kind of humor on them. Some of them are, I may fall in a hole or, a lot of them do end in some kind of me getting injured in some way or another.
Better than having the host get hurt. There we go.
One of them, we were, the skit is that we're in the South American jungles, looking at the Mayan ruins, kind of trying to get a better understanding of 2012. And the whole time the crew's wrestling a jaguar in the background.
Oh my God.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun to do for them. And I have a blast doing them. And I get great responses from them about them. They really enjoy them. And, again, they're on Ripley's Radio. They're Ripley's Oddcast. And, I never would imagine that. I never would imagine.
So it's Ripley's Oddcast, and they just have to put that in the Google search, and they'll find it. You have to listen to these because they are really, really funny. And also, I know that you've done a couple of different commercials for your magazine, and there was one in particular that I absolutely fell in love with, and I want to play it on my show. And I think I'm going to kind of force you into giving me that. And that's the Indiana Jones style commercial that you did. That was so funny. And what was great was how you had the kids involved. That was so awesome. It was just awesome.
Well, Ripley's, Ripley segments, the kids are involved.
Oh, really?
They love doing them with me, and I love getting them involved. For me, there is a, through this household, there's a lot about creativity and thinking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, it gets them involved in it. And yeah, the Austin, my second oldest, helped me with that skit. And now I have to give you a revised version because I think that one was promoting our Christmas discount through our web store, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was. All right. Well, I want everybody to hear that commercial. I really, really do. So, we'll take a second and play it for you. And we'll be right back.
Man, this has got to be the thickest jungle we have been in.
Yeah, but when we find the treasure, it'll be worth it.
Hey, look, there it is. The Temple of Shadows.
It's about time because these mosquitoes are eating me alive.
Man, this temple is amazing.
I wonder what this does.
Apparently, it shoots arrows at my head.
Sorry about that.
Let's move on. The treasure's got to be close.
Hey, look up there. I think I see it.
Ah, there it is. The fabled coupon that gives you 40% off at the Shadows Media web store.
It has some kind of writing on it. Can you read it?
I think so. It appears to say, visit our web store through shadowsinthedarkradio.com or mysteriesmagazine.com and use the coupon code HOLIDAY at checkout and receive 40% off your entire order. Hey, wait, there's some more writing. This offer is good until midnight Eastern time on December the 27th. And they said things like that didn't exist.
Hey, look, another lever.
Do you have to push or pull every lever and button you see?
All right, I love that commercial. I absolutely adore that commercial. I think that's one of the most creative pieces I've ever heard. And, you bust a gut. So thank you so much for being with us, Jeremiah. This was absolutely awesome for the first show. I'm very excited. And, you know, Katie and I, we love you. We love you, and we love Shadows in the Dark, and we love mysteries. And so, you know, is there anything that you would like to throw out there? You know, plug your stuff. I know you have a great store for Shadows Media. There's a ton of stuff on there people can go and buy. And, of course, your radio show. Now, you told me that your radio show's actually gone down until April, or is it just that you've shortened them, or there's been change to that?
Yeah, normally we broadcast twice a week, but while we're doing this restructuring and kind of getting everything back in line, we're going to broadcast 2 to 3 times a month. Mm-hmm. And, unfortunately, those aren't set dates. We're just playing it from the hip. to be honest, over the next couple months, if a show kind of, gets put together, then we're going to do one. We hate to do it, but it's kind of necessary right now. We've got to create some time. And like I said, we don't want to see this stuff go away. So
no.
It's necessary to do it.
No, and you can check out the radio show in the archives and podcasts at shadowinthedarkradio.com, right?
That's exactly right.
Right. And then Mysteries Magazine, which will be, I'm sure, updated when the relaunch happens. And I know you guys are working really hard behind the scenes on that now. I can't wait to see the new one that you guys are putting out, because I've been hearing rumors about that, and I heard it's supposed to be really good, really, really good.
Well, you know, we put a lot of work into that, to everything we do, and always looking to bet every single time.
Oh, I know. You guys do a heck of a lot. You really, really do, and I'm very proud to know you. But anyway, so like I said, thank you for joining me on the first show, and thank you to everybody who decided to pop in and listen. If you have any questions or show ideas, you can email me at generationpsychic@hotmail.com, and we look forward to the next show. Again, thank you so much for joining me, Jeremiah.
You are more than welcome, and let me say I am glad to see you have a show now, and I know it's going to be great.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. thank you. That means so much.
More than welcome.
All right. Well, you have a good night, hon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Again, thank you so much to Jeremiah for joining us, and please stay tuned next week as we bring in author and my partner in crime, Katie Boyd, to talk about her book, Haunted Closets, True Tales of the Boogeyman. See you next week.